Our Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy 30. If you'd like to join along in your own Bible or a pew Bible, Deuteronomy 30, beginning with verse 11. And before we read God's word this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us your word, gifted us your word, and through it you have revealed yourself to us. You've shown us your great love for us. You have shown us your son, Jesus. Father, we pray that you give us a delight for your word. Give us joy as we read it and hear it. Father, we pray that you would help us to meditate upon it day and night so that we are like a tree planted by a stream of water with deep roots into the very stream of life, growing and bearing fruit for you. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Deuteronomy 30, beginning with verse 11. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?" But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God and obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading is from Matthew 7:13. As we continue our study of the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to finish this study up next week, and then we're going to be jumping into the book of Acts in a couple of weeks. That's our next study, the book of Acts. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?" And then will I declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Two gates, two ways, two doors, two paths. Two roads. That's one of the images in Psalm 1, our call to worship this morning. That's also the message from the Lord to his people in Deuteronomy 30, our Old Testament lesson this morning. And those are Jesus' words as well. In fact, Jesus describes life this way: two gates, two ways. Life may appear more complicated. Life may seem more complicated. Life may feel more complicated, but Jesus says it's really not. Two gates, two ways. You might think that you're making your own way. You might think that you're blazing your own trail, following your own road, creating your own destiny, but Jesus says, no, it's two gates, two ways. You might think that everybody is on the same road, traveling the same path, going the same way, headed for the same destination. Again, Jesus says, no, two gates, two ways. One, Jesus says, leads to destruction, death, hell. And one leads to life. One, Jesus says, is wide, it's easy, it's comfortable, it's newly paved. Y'all been on some of the newly paved roads here in Giant? Newly paved road. It requires little exertion. You can coast. The other one, Jesus says, is narrow. It's hard. It's full of obstacles. It takes you high up in the mountains, and it takes you deep, deep down in the valleys. One, Jesus says, is filled with crowds, a multitude, a throng. You just follow along. And one has few on it. And Jesus says this. He says, enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. Now these words of Jesus are a call. They are a call to you. They're a call to reflect, a call to contemplate, a call to consider life, your life. Now, we all get busy. We get busy in life. We get busy at work. We get busy at play. We get busy with kids. We get busy with grandkids. We get busy with school. We get busy with the day. We get busy, and then suddenly the day is over, and we start another busy day. We get so busy that we don't reflect. We don't contemplate. We don't consider life, our lives. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. And it's a call for you. It's a call for you to ask yourself, where are you? Where have you been? And where are you going? It's a call for you to ask yourself, are you on the easy way? Are you coasting? Are you following the crowd? Are you headed for destruction? Or are you on the way that leads to life? Enter by the narrow gate. Jesus' words are a call to action. They are a call to decision for you to follow him, to place your faith in him, to claim him as your Lord, to cling to him as your Savior, to acknowledge that you've been on the wrong road. You've been going the wrong way. You've entered the wrong gate. You've been coasting away from God with no thought of God. Only yourself and perhaps your next pursuit of pleasure. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. This is the gate that leads to life. This is the way that leads to life. It leads to forgiven life. It leads to life over death life. It leads to eternal life. It leads to forever life with God. This is the way to God. It's the way to life, the way to life, the way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. He's the door. He is the way and the truth and the life. His death and his resurrection opened this way for you, opened the gate for you. And the very Son of God who laid down his life for you calls you. He calls you to come and enter. Come and enter. Leave the way of the world behind and enter. Leave yourself behind and enter. And know this, no decision is a decision. Indecision is a decision. Because there's only two gates, two ways. Enter by the narrow gate. Now, Jesus' call to you is also a reminder. It's a reminder for those who do follow him. It's a reminder for those who do know him, a reminder of where you are and where you're going. You are on the narrow way. Now, remember, Jesus doesn't say it's a narrow life. He says it's a narrow way. And he also says it's hard. It's hard. Jesus says it's hard. Following him is hard. Living the Christian life is hard. And we've seen that in the entire teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. If you've been here for a few weeks or a number of weeks in this study, we've seen that it's hard. Jesus' call and how he desires us to live is hard. It is hard to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's hard. It's hard to judge not. It's hard not to be anxious about your life. It's hard not to lay up treasures on earth. It's hard to forgive others. It's hard to love your enemy. It's hard to go the extra mile, to be faithful in marriage, to not be angry. That's why it's a narrow way. That's why it's a hard path. But that is life following Jesus Christ. That's life in the kingdom of God. That's life as God designed it. That's life as God intended it. It's hard. It's also hard because you'll be misunderstood. It's hard because you won't always be understood for what you do or who you are. It's hard because you might be opposed. You might be rejected. You might be persecuted. It's hard because Jesus says there are few on this way. There's crowds on the other path, and Jesus says there's few on this way. On the narrow way, sometimes you might feel alone or that your traveling companions are few. Now, that seems strange to say in a room full of people of faith, which means this. You're blessed with community. And don't forget that. Community is a gift. Community in the body of Christ is a gift. Imagine being a Christian in Sri Lanka right now, or North Korea, or Iran, or somewhere else around the world where you know that your traveling companions are few just because of where you live and how you've been persecuted for your faith. It's hard. The narrow way is hard because you can't do it on your own. You want to, and you try to, but you fall off the path. You lose the way. You take your eyes off Jesus. Now, when that happens, when you lose your way, when you fall off the path, that doesn't mean that you've now changed paths. That doesn't mean that you've now gone through another gate. No, once you've entered the narrow gate, once you have placed your faith in Jesus, he is your way. If you have lost the path, cry out to him, call to him, turn to him in repentance. He will answer. He will come. The good shepherd seeks out his lost sheep. He'll place you back on the narrow way, which is the road to life, which is the path to God. Enter by the narrow gate. Now, after this call to action, Jesus offers some warnings. The first warning he offers is about false prophets. Listen to verse 15 again. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Jesus says false prophets will come. False teachers will come. They will come to the church and they look like sheep. On the surface, they appear to be followers of Jesus. They look like sheep. They sound like sheep. They can talk the Christian talk. They can quote scripture after scripture to you. And that's why Jesus offers this warning. They might look like sheep and they might sound like sheep, but Jesus says they're really wolves. They're ravenous wolves. They're hungry wolves. They're destructive wolves. They are evil wrapped in the clothing of Christian piety and talk, sent not by Jesus, but by the evil one. Driven not by Jesus, but driven by hunger. Hunger for ambition, hunger for influence, hunger for authority, hunger for power. Jesus says, beware. And be on the lookout for them. But also don't worry. Don't be paranoid. Now why? Why? Because Jesus says appearances can't be kept up for long. Appearances can't be kept up for long. Listen to verse 16 again. Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruits. You're going to know false prophets. You're going to know false teachers. You are going to recognize wolves in sheep's clothing by what they produce. Jesus says, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Of course not. You're going to know false prophets by their fruits. In other words, a wolf is a wolf, and a wolf is going to be a wolf, even if it looks like a sheep and sounds like a sheep. You're going to recognize a false prophet. You'll recognize a wolf through what they teach and how they live. That's the fruit. What are they teaching? How are they living? Do they point to the narrow gate? Are they teaching that Jesus alone is the way, the door? Or are they pointing to the wide gate? Do they live the narrow way, or are they cruising? Well, life following Jesus Christ will result in fruit. It can't help. Following Jesus, you can't help but show forth fruit. It's going to grow out from your heart, out of your life, fruit of the Spirit. But Jesus says this, you can't rely on this fruit. You got to have fruit, but don't rely on it. And that's the second warning he gives. Listen to verse 21 again. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Man, let me read that again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, wait a minute. Isn't claiming Jesus as Lord foundational? Isn't it essential? Isn't that what allows us to enter the narrow gate, begin our journey on the rough way, the way that leads to life, the way that leads to God, the way that leads to heaven? Well, yes. But Jesus warns that there are those who call him Lord whom he is not Lord over. They refer to him as Lord, but they don't really place themselves under his lordship. Now, in this warning, Jesus paints a picture on the last day, on the day of judgment, the final day. And as people are brought before the judge, as people are brought before Jesus, some say this. Listen to verse 22 again. They say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? Now, those who appear before Jesus, they've ministered in his name. They've had successful ministries, effective ministries, powerful ministries. They've prophesied and they've cast out demons and they have healed and they've done mighty works all in the name of Jesus. And Jesus has this to say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Leave. Why would Jesus say that? Why would he say that to those who call him Lord? Why would he say that to those who have had effective ministries in his name? Well, here's why. Because they are resting on those ministries. They are resting on what they have done. They are relying on their fruit. As they approach the judge, as they approach the judge on the last day, they appeal to the sensational works that they have done in his name. And Jesus says, I never knew you, depart from me. In following Jesus, you have to have fruit. You can't help but have fruit in your life. It grows out of your life, but that's not what you rest upon. That's not what you rely upon. That's not what gives you favor in God's eyes. That's not what gives you salvation. That's not what gives you life. That's not how you enter the narrow gate. It's faith. It's knowing Jesus Christ. It's being known by Jesus Christ. And it's more than simple recognition, and it's more than knowledge. You have to know. You have to have that knowledge, but it's more. It has to be real in your life, has to be real in your heart, it's got to be real in your soul. It's why you've entered the narrow gate. It's why you are on the hard way. It's why you are on the road that leads to life and not on the one that leads to destruction. It's him. It's him. So that on that last day, on the final day, on the judgment day, when you stand before Jesus, you don't rest upon your fruit. You don't point to your good works. You don't point to your knowledge. You don't point to your successful ministries. You point to Jesus. You point to the judge. You point to the door. You point to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And you say, it's you. I have nothing but you. Two gates, two ways, two doors, two paths, two roads. Enter by the narrow gate. Is that your way? I pray so. Are you going that way? Are you struggling as you go on that way? Well, cry out to the Lord Jesus and remember, you are on the path that leads to eternal life because you've gone through him. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, whom you have sent to us, showing us your great love for us. We thank you, Father, that through him you have placed us on the road that leads to life. That he is the door, he is the gate that we have entered through on our path to you. Father, help us to be faithful on that path. Guide us as we walk. Help us to keep our eyes upon your Son. Help us when we stumble and lose our way. Father, send your Son to come find us so that we might be back on that way that you've placed us on. And we pray, Father, that we would show forth fruit on the way, but that we would not rely upon it, but that it would be an offering to you for your glory. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.